I also think that the quality of the documentation itself also tends to be better with a knowledge-based system. I think you create better quality documentation, you have more control over content use, you have more control over the style guide, you have more control over snippets, for example, different things that help you create better quality documentation and a better quality website for the end user.
Welcome to the Knowledge Base Ninjas podcast, where Gauri Ram Kumar of Document 360 finds the best SaaS self-service knowledge bases in the world and then interviews their creators. Let's get started with today's episode.
Good day, everyone. Our guest today for the Knowledge Base Ninjas podcast is Brianne Bennett, lead technical writer at OpenSea. Welcome, Brianne, to Knowledge Base Ninjas podcast. How are you doing today?
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great.
So before we dig deep dive into what you're currently doing, can you help us understand a little bit more about yourself, Brianne, and how did your professional journey started and how is it looking so far?
Yeah, so actually, I think a very interesting aspect about my career is that I'm an American, but I live in Paris, France. And so that kind of gives me an interesting edge, being a native English speaker in the technical writing community. And so I did my master's in technical writing actually here in Paris. And then I got a job very quickly at SAP as a technical writer. And I was the only native English speaker on my team, but we had a great team of 6 to 8 writers. And it was really great. That's where I learned really the base of what we do as a technical writer. And it was a great experience. I had a great team, but it was a very large company. So it gave me kind of a very specific view of the job. Currently, I'm at a French software company. Much smaller. We're no longer a startup, but we're kind of still in that transition phase from going to startup to IPO. So we're growing very quickly. And so it's a very different, and I'm the first technical writer. It's a very different view of the job. And especially because I'm also the only native English speaker. And so a lot of my work consisted of kind of translation and kind of taking, even if it was written in English, transcribing what I know that they meant, because for those who speak two languages, you know, if you do a direct translation, it's never quite right. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so lovely journey you have in there. So in your opinion, what are the key differences between docs as code and a dedicated knowledge base software when you're creating documentation?
The main difference is the focus. I think when you're doing docs as code, you keep the code and the product, the focus of the documentation, which has its advantages. It's great. And I think when you use a knowledge base, you keep the user and the community as the focus of the documentation. And I say community to include the users, maybe the people within the organization, the developers. So to kind of have a more global view of who's reading, who's consuming, and who's contributing to the documentation.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the quality of the documentation itself also tends to be better with a knowledge-based system. I think you create better quality documentation, you have more control over content use, you have more control over the style guide, you have more control over snippets, for example, different things that help you create better quality documentation and a better quality website for the end user.
Okay, that's great. So you're saying the quality is much better when you use a dedicated knowledge-based software?
In my opinion, yes. You know, even as a technical writer, you're able to have more tools in your toolbox in order to create better quality documentation. And then as a user who's maybe a client of the product, the website is going to be a little bit better. It's generally easier to navigate. You know, there's more thought behind the actual generation of the website itself.
Mm-hmm. So just as a continuation to this question, what factors should an organization consider when deciding to switch from Doc's code to a dedicated knowledge-based software?
I think one of the first things they should consider is ownership. Who's going to be writing the documentation? Who owns the documentation? And then what does the review process look like? Is the pers is there one writer and one reviewer, or are there is there one writer and multiple reviewers, which is my case? I do like to keep the developers involved in the documentation process. You know, I don't want to like completely take it from them, and then have them feel kind of, you know, left out of their product. So I make sure to include them in the review process. And so I think with that, you need to keep in mind the strategy for creation of the documentation and how to encourage communication between teams. And then beyond that, I think the next thing is a style guide. I don't know, you know, for us, we went from Docs Code to a knowledge base. And within that transition, I created a style guide because one of the main problems we had was kind of inconsistent style, inconsistent wording across documentation, across authors. And so now that I'm the main writer, but there are other contributors, I want to make sure that we're staying consistent no matter who the author is and no matter what the topic is, so that it's easy to understand and users know, you know, there's not this impression of multiple authors. I want that to kind of be transparent for them.
Great. So we did speak about the factors in choosing knowledge base over Docs code. But have you come across any scenario where you thought, all right, Docs code is much more appropriate than using a dedicated knowledge base?
Yeah, we actually have kind of a smaller product within our product that allows the clients to interact with our product completely with Python. And that is much more of a collaborative effort between devs and other customer success and other implementation managers within the company that help to kind of create this code base. And so they continue using Docs code, and then they're able to push it onto our documentation website. And I think that's a nice way to keep it collaborative within the company, and with the clients are going to be able to participate in the documentation. It stays Docs code, but it's still rendered on our knowledge base website. So it's kind of a great in between.
Nice to know that scenario too, Brian. Just as a note to that, you did mention that you involve a number of people when creating your documentation, right? So I'm sure you must be using some tools, but just let me know, how does the choice of the tool impact this collaboration between technical writers and other stakeholders in the project?
I think, well, first of all, when you kind of switch from Docs code to a knowledge base, you end up freeing a lot of time for the developers. You kind of take the load of documentation off their backs, which is really nice. But you also don't want them, like I said, you don't want them to feel completely stripped of their code. So I think when you the choice of the tool, be it Docs code or a knowledge base or CMS, for example, I think it forces you to create a strategy for communication, and it forces you to create real processes for the documentation. And they each kind of have their own best strategy, whatever works for the company, whatever works with the tool. And you know, in that you need to make sure that you have a good workflow set up in order to help the communication and then to continue to deliver the documentation.
Nice, thank you. And as you know, a lot of technologies are evolving in the technical writing space, and you've got a lot more tools to help you. Are you seeing any emerging trends in the future in terms of technical writing tools and documentation practices?
Yeah, I think you know, other than the big elephant in the room, which is AI, I think AI, rather than, you know, there's a lot of people who are worried that AI may replace technical writers or other things. I don't think that we will be replaced by AI. I think maybe we will use and leverage AI tools more often in our writing. I don't see a way to fully replace human writers. You know, even when you're writing for AI content, it's not the same. You can't write the same as you would for human readers versus an AI reader. So I think there's that, but I do, there's plenty of opportunities for AI to help us in our writing, you know, because at the end of the day, we're only human. We make mistakes. So it's great to be able to have AI come and maybe catch mistakes or help us improve our writing, but I don't think that they can take the place. I think the next big trend that we'll see is technical writers and UX writing being really integrated with each other. I think we're going to see more and more documentation fully integrated in software products so that clients aren't leaving the product in order to get the documentation. I'm doing my best to implement that here. It's been going great so far. I really appreciate UX writing. I think it makes, you know, if you have better UX writing, you have less documentation to write because it's more obvious, it's more helpful. And so I think that's the big, I think that'll be the next big step and more context sensitive help for
True,
users.
true. Very, very nicely put. All the three tools that could help and bring better technical writers to the community. Nice, great. Let's move on to the rapid fire round, Brent. I'm sure you're reading a lot of contents. You just spoke about a lot of the latest technologies that's emerging in the space. So, have you come across anything, any resources recently that you'd like to share with our audiences today?
Yeah, there was a book that I haven't finished, but I've read recently called Doxa's Ecosystem. And that is a very interesting look into and it's where I get the idea of community for documentation from, where she the author takes a very global look at documentation, who's contributing, who's reading, who's consuming the documentation, and how can we include everyone in that process. And I think that is a very interesting take. And there is a blog called Passo Uno that I love by Fabrizio Benedetti. He's one of the technical writers at Splunk, and it's a very interesting blog. He keeps up with it regularly, so those are both really interesting.
Brilliant. Thank you for sharing those useful contents. And you did mention that you've got the best of both worlds. And what's that one word that comes to your mind when someone says documentation?
I think the first word is guide, because my goal is to help guide the user through the product.
Great. That's very simple, but very appropriate. Great. Now, what is that one piece of advice or documentation-related advice you would give to your 20-year-old self?
I would say to trust yourself.
Thank you. That's awesome. And as I said, there's lots you have shared, and I hope some of these are taken by the audiences who are listening to the podcast today. And I wish you all the very best for your future projects and more technical writing community activities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Knowledge Base Ninjas podcast. Please head to iTunes, rate, and provide honest feedback on the podcast. See you next week.